Gray is the Color of Hope is the title of a memoir by exiled Soviet poet Arina Ratushinskaya. Gray refers to the color of the uniform she wore for 3.5 years while in a Soviet labor camp. Ratushinskaya was 29 years old in 1983 when she was convicted of writing poetry and documents in defense of human rights. But imprisonment didn't silence her. While in prison, she composed more than 300 poems. Each day she would recite 20 to 30 of them, trying to commit to memory, which she was not allowed to write down. Ratushinskaya shared a special zone of the camp with 10 other women who were also considered dangerous political prisoners.
We were very different, all of us. One lady was arrested because she organized a sort of Catholic Sunday school for children. It is crime in the Soviet Union. Other was the member of Helsinki watching group in Moscow. It is crime again. One woman was an artist working for underground feminist magazine. So all of us were especially dangerous state criminal. And our idea was to forget about all differences in nation, in religion, and to support one another, to help one another, even in small steps. It kept us alive, all of us.
Do you think that the women political prisoners had a different way of coping with prison life than the women who were there on criminal charges? Since you were doing hunger strikes and trying to defy the authorities in every which way you could.
Of course, there is the difference. We, all of us, had some ideas about human rights. And we learned the experience of the last generation, how to survive, how not to be broken down. We understood, even if we will die in the labor camp, we have something to die for. Ordinary women who are in the labor camp for criminals, about half of them are innocent. They are arrested for such things. They should never be arrested in normal countries for being unemployed or homeless or something like this. Half of them are just people in trouble. They are suffering, but they don't know what for.
How were you able to keep writing poems when you were in prison? What did you use to write on?
Sometimes it was sheet of paper. Sometimes it was bar of soap. Sometimes it was a service of our iron stove. It didn't matter for me on what to write. Sometimes I composed my poems on the snow surface. Anyway, I knew they will search me and confiscate all my handwriting. Only one thing they couldn't search were my brains. I had to memorize my poems.
Did other women in the prison also memorize your poems to help you remember them?
Yes. All of them helped me to hide manuscripts sometimes when we had occasion to smuggle out this manuscript from the labor camp. And they helped me. They learned these poems by heart in case I will die.
You went on several hunger strikes. During at least one of them, the prison guards were afraid that you were going to die. So they force-fed you. One of the reasons I think they were afraid about your dying is that you had become fairly famous abroad. Your poems had been smuggled out. Your reputation was spreading. And there was an effort to get your release. Did you know about that? Did you know that there was such an effort to try to win your freedom?
I had no any idea about how many people are working and trying to help me. When we were in the labor camp, we didn't get any letter from abroad. And only when I was released, I learned that thousands of people from various countries wrote to me, protested near the Soviet embassy, did whatever they could to help me. Only one thing I am sorry about now is that, well, I'm lucky, I've got this publicity. What about other people who are not poets, who are not writers? They are honest people, much better than I am probably, and they have spent much more time in the labor camp than I did. just because people don't know their names. Who will help them, my friends?
Are you trying to work for them now?
Yes. I keep in touch with the Soviet Union, sometimes by phone, sometimes secretly, using our special ways. I know what is going on now in the labor camp, and I always use each opportunity to speak about people who are still behind bars. When people don't know, they are not responsible. Knowledge is responsibility. If I have an opportunity now, I would like to say about one of these prisoners.
Please, why don't you tell us about one of the prisoners that you know of who's still in the Soviet Union?
This guy is not a poet. He is not a writer. His name is Boris Mityashin. He is truck driver from Leningrad. He was arrested first time when he was 19 years old because he protested against the Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia in 1968. Second time he was arrested 4 years ago for keeping in his home books by Solzhenitsyn and my poems. Now I am free, I am released. My poems are published everywhere. And he is continuing to serve his sentence, partly for my poems.
The order for your release was signed 2 days before the Reagan-Gorbachev summit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Glasnost has helped political prisoners in the Soviet Union?
I think it was not the good wish of our authorities. I think they just used me as a coin for change, as a nice gesture. Well, I understand it is impossible to demand immediate changes in economy. It takes years. But it takes only a couple of hours to unlock the doors of the cells and let everybody go. And they release only those who are well known in the West.
How is your health now?
Some problems were removed very easily by Western doctors. Some problems like headaches, I have got 2 concussions in the labor camp, will remain forever. Doctors cannot do anything about it. My main problem is being able to have children after the labor camp. Our labor camp doctors made fun of us. They said, "We assure every one of you, you will never have children after this cold and malnutrition and everything together." Well, I still have this problem, and I still hope sooner or later doctors will help me. I wouldn't speak about this problem, but this problem is common to all women prisoners in our country.
You write in your new book that when you were in the punishment cell, you had the most beautiful dreams, and that you thought the dreams helped save you because at least when you were able to sleep, you would be taken away to these beautiful images. Did you start dreaming about prison, though, when you were released?
Yes, our psychology working in a very interesting way. When I was in the labor camp, not me, not my husband, didn't have any nightmares. Our dreams were wonderful, with music, with bright colors. When we discovered us out of danger, together, happy, having medical help, everything we have seen before came back to us in nightmares. We really couldn't sleep, both of us. Probably it was sort of reminding of our duty. I had to write a book about it. By the way, after I finished, these nightmares were gone.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Irina Reltushinskaya lives in exile with her husband in London. Her memoir, Grey is the Color of Hope, is published by Knopf. Her prison poems are collected in the book Beyond the Limit, published by Northwestern University Press. This is Fresh Air.